Welcome to the Steelers by the Lake podcast. My name is James, joined once again by my co-host Cody. Cody, how are you today?
Well, James, it's Victory Monday.
Dang right it is.
And we love our Victory Monday. So I am doing great. How are you, sir?
There's no better Monday than a Victory Monday. So I'm also doing great.
especially against a rivalry like the Cleveland Browns.
Yes.
That just makes it feel so much better.
Yeah. Don't hear much from Kareem Hunt these days, do you?
That one was for Miles. And I think, listen, in basketball, they say ball don't lie if you get a foul and you miss the free throw.
Yeah.
Ball don't lie in football. We scored the most points in that game.
By
we
a
won.
Lot.
I'm assuming that no words were exchanged in that they claimed were exchanged.
Yeah.
Not to go back to that. But I'll take a Victory Monday and a blowout Victory Monday at that.
Huge. Huge win. Toughest opponent the Steelers have had so far this year. And they ripped them apart, man.
And that's putting it politely.
Yep.
That is a politically correct talk right there.
Yep. I mean, by the time Minka got his hands on an interception, Browns didn't score that many points the rest of the game. So we're already up 10-0.
Yep.
They only managed 7.
Yeah, we could have beat them with the first quarter alone.
Yep. Yeah, it was already over.
Sad day for the Browns fans.
Or is it?
I mean, it's a wake-up call, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, everybody needs a little reality check in life once in a while. And unfortunately for any Browns fans who thought that they had the best team in the AFC North, they have now seen their team get beaten pretty handily by both the Steelers and the Ravens.
Yep. Yeah. Week one was with Ravens, and then week six was us now.
Yep.
And then
they've got the Bengals next week.
So that's going to be a big game because they've already played
them.
Once. They've already played them once.
Yep.
And beat them pretty handily.
Then the fighting Joe Burrows are a little bit better than they were first time around. A
little bit. They put on a show against Indianapolis this past
almost
yesterday.
Pulled off a victory.
Listen,
too.
They should have had it.
they should have really.
My buddy's a Bengals fan and he's very upset. But he also
sorry,
said he's used
Cody's
to it.
Buddy.
He said he's used to it. So no, that was great.
Hey, before we go completely off the rails here,
yeah, let's
which
go
is
news.
What we're doing. We got some Steelers by the Lake news. Couple new likes on Facebook. Leonard Huya, H-U-Y-A. I hope I'm right on that.
Huya.
Sorry if I'm not.
Huya. Huya.
Huya. Love that last name. Robert Blair also. Appreciate the likes, folks. And our first download ever in Argentina.
Argentina.
That's right, man.
There's Steelers fans in Argentina.
Dang right there are.
Heck yeah, baby.
Dang right.
There's Steelers fans all over the world. We know
everywhere.
That.
They're worldwide.
We travel well. Actually, no, excuse me. We don't travel well. We're already there.
That's true.
That's what I like to say when people talk about that. Other news. What else? Is that it for Steelers by the Lake
That's
news?
That's it, Steelers by the Lake news.
That's fair.
But Steelers news before this game.
Got some big stuff.
Big splash news. Le'Veon Bell was released by the New York Jets.
Nobody was surprised there. They were trying
nope.
to trade him last year.
Yep.
Didn't work. Tried to trade him this year. It didn't work.
And then he went after the coach, apparently, on social media or something. So he said enough is enough. Couldn't get anything in a trade. They got rid of him. And the Chiefs very quickly scooped him up. Gave him a real modest deal.
Very, like.
I think it was $690,000 base salary,
yeah.
$1 million in incentives.
Yeah.
Which
very very high incentive.
Touch. Yeah.
Which is good.
Yeah.
This for him. You know, 2 years ago for him now was a prove-it year. Now he has this year being a prove-it year. So
he's running out of time, man.
He is. He's 28.
Yeah, you only get so much time when you're a running back.
Yeah.
That clock's ticking.
And it's ticking out fast. But
speaking of ticking clocks.
Ooh, here we go.
Stefan Wisniewski, Steelers backup offensive lineman.
21-day clock. Well, now it's
yeah,
less.
Yeah, it's Wednesday this last week. Was his first day returning to practice. Once you return to practice when you were originally placed on the injured reserve list, you have 21 days to be reactivated to the 53-man roster. If you're able to do so, then you're good to go. If not, you go back on the injured reserve and you cannot come back off that same season. So very important.
Next 3 weeks.
It's important to see him practicing because obviously going into this game, we knew DeCastro and Pouncey were injured. Didn't find out till later in the week that DeCastro was not going to play. Pouncey was able to play but re-aggravated his foot injury. So important that you get that depth piece back. You don't want to see J.C. Hasenauer out there too much.
No. He came in and played. I mean, he was playing very, very – straightforward, let's run the ball kind of football once he got in there late in the game.
Yeah, it was pretty much over at that point.
Yeah, I think it was already 33 or 38-7 at that point.
Yeah.
But yeah, gotta hope Pouncey stays healthy. Ben got him out of there as soon as he saw he was messing around with his foot late in the game. And then as well as Wisniewski. Wisniewski, if he comes back, definitely going to be even better for our offensive line.
Yeah, sure. And it's all about that depth, man. You got to make sure that you're in good shape on that. You never know how long it's going to be for DeCastro coming back. Dotson looks great.
I love seeing him pull.
I'm not worried about Dotson, man. Pretty incredible. Other news that happened on Wednesday, Derek Watt and Marcus Allen both returned from their injuries.
That's huge.
So that was very important to have them both back, especially special teams. Those guys are both valuable special teams players. Derek Watt being an excellent blocking fullback as well. Very important to see them return. Also, we had somebody named AFC Player of the Week from last week's performance.
Yeah, Mr. Studman himself, the rookie, who better freaking win Rookie of the Year, Chase Claypool. I don't blame him. He had four touchdowns on the week.
Yeah, I mean, if they didn't give that to him, it'd look pretty foolish.
Just a little bit.
That's for sure. Speaking of players, movement, not movement, they protected four players this week, just like they do every week that we're on the practice squad.
Yep.
Had your outside linebacker, J'Ron Elliott, wide receiver, Deion Kane, running back, Wendell Smallwood, and the fourth one, I think you know him.
Henry Mondo.
That's right, my boy. Worth noting, not too long after that, Mr. Deion Kane got promoted from the practice squad to the 53 for the game. Yeah. This is actually technically making him the 54th. You're allowed to promote two guys this year. And then bring them back down to the practice squad without having to release them like you would on a normal year. This is part of the COVID protocols to help people out, make sure everybody has enough people to play on Sundays. This was due to the fact that Deontay Johnson was not able to return from his injury for the game.
Yeah, sad to see Deontay out, but however, we did see some Deion Kane. Nothing crazy. I don't think he even had a reception or even a target for that matter. But wasn't too concerned with that. We had playmakers all over the field.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Absolutely. So let's get into the breakdown, man, starting with Ben like we always do.
Absolutely. Ben, okay, I'm going to say that. I had something to say, but I'm going to save it for later. Ben played well.
He did.
Ben played phenomenally well. Mm-hmm. Had a high completion rating percentage again.
Yep.
Compared to his past years. I think he's still trying to reel in his arm strength a little bit. It was a lot better this week than in past weeks. He had two long bombs that actually were completed, and the one looked like it was in the perfect position for the very first one for James Washington to catch it, and only him.
Yep.
And then the other one was actually, I think, the same drive, maybe even.
Yeah.
Same side of the field.
Claypool deep on the to left, Claypool. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Claypool, the Mapletron that he is, the freak that he is, made that catch look easy, even though it was probably a difficult catch. That was like a fingertip catch. So, but anyways, Ben looked confident.
Accurate, calculated, and I loved the performance on the first drive. They've been really struggling to get any drives together on their first offensive drives of the game. Big difference this time. Drove right down the field. They actually had a couple of incomplete passes in the end zone at the end of the drive. Ended up kicking a field goal and scoring some points. Still haven't seen that touchdown on the opening drive.
23 games
straight now. But you got to feel better about the chances of it happening because they did put a good drive together and they got a couple of attempts into the end zone. So we're getting closer. Wouldn't be surprised if they pull it off this upcoming week.
Yeah, we're not shying away from people like we used to. We used to get down on the other side of the 50 and then be like, okay, let's run the ball so we don't lose field position on a sack or whatever. But we're still staying aggressive. Really, really, really nice to see. Have to see if we get a touchdown next week for sure. That'll be exciting. Yeah. Mason Rudolph also played.
He did.
Let's talk about him. He was 1-for-1.
Yes, he was.
And it was his knee taking the damage, not Ben's this week.
That's right. He got the kneel downs at the end of the game, which was nice to see because honestly, he didn't need a lot from Ben this week. 144 yards is all he had, but one touchdown, no interceptions. Got to keep that ratio going. He is now 11 touchdowns and one pick on the season. That is tremendous.
I think there's only three quarterbacks that are either as good or better than him right now with that. I think someone's 13-1 passer passing rating or pass touchdowns to interception. Someone else, Derek Carr, excuse me, is 11-1. And then I think
Then Russ Wilson's Russell's 19-3.
Yeah.
Jeez, man.
Yeah, 19 touchdowns already on the year, which is crazy, but that's Russell for you. He's got DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett over there.
Yeah.
Oh man, what was I gonna say? I had something I was excited to talk about. Oh, he is like top 5 in passer rating.
Yeah.
Or top 10 maybe.
Yeah, which makes sense because that goes off of your yardage and your touchdowns versus interceptions. With almost no interceptions, that makes it easy to have a good quarterback rating, and his completion percentage was real high too. One of the highest in the league right now for starting quarterbacks.
Yep.
So excellent start to the season for Ben. Moving on to running backs, James Conner.
Running angry, man. He's running mad.
Ran very physical. Looked great again. Back over 100 yards again for the third time on the season in 5 games. In the end zone again for the 4th time this year, I believe, already?
I believe, yeah.
Conner looking like a very productive back. And one of the favorite things I had about it this game, one of my pet peeves watching football players play is when they're running with the ball, and if you're running to your left, if you're running towards the left sideline, you should have the ball in your left arm so that you can use your right arm to fend away defenders, right? Use that stiff arm. Conner did such a great job in this game of switching which arm he was carrying the ball in so he could use the other one to stiff arm opponents, and it was a very effective stiff arm.
Very effective.
He's got an excellent stiff arm. He's good at placing it. He's got great power with it.
He's got a pretty good spin move, too.
Yeah, man. Poor Sendejo. Don't know where he is. He's still looking for him.
That's something that I never realized out of Conner. I've seen it a couple times in small glances, but his spin move is quick.
And he's getting some serious confidence because of these games he's putting together.
Yeah.
I mean, you're seeing him juke people up in the hole, in between blockers, making guys miss instead of trying to run through them and then going for more yards. Conner just was very impressive in this game to me. I thought he had an excellent game. The numbers show it as well, but he just ran very physical, like Cody said. Ran hard, always fighting for the extra yards. And even on that touchdown, he had 3 defenders on him.
Yeah, he just wanted
more. And powered his way through them to get in the end zone.
I'll take it.
Yeah, he wanted it more than they did, period.
Benny Snell played?
And Benny Snell played better.
Much better. No fumbles?
Yeah, I'm not going to say it was great.
No.
But he did play physical. He broke through some tackles, and he got himself in the end zone.
He got a couple first downs.
Got a couple first downs, too. Yeah, he got a touchdown. That's what I just said.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Got himself in the
end
zone.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, yep.
Yeah, forgot. That was basically a Benny Snell drive at the end.
Yeah,
They kept him in. They kept on feeding it to him, and he rewarded him.
I'm trying to think. Anthony McFarlane.
McFarlane got a couple touches.
And then he almost made Ben die. Let's put it that way.
One of the funnier plays of the game. It was clearly supposed to be a draw to the left. McFarlane must have thought that it was actually a pass play because he went straight into pass protection. Ben went to hand it off to him, and he was nowhere to be found.
So he just took off.
So Ben just started running, man. And I told you guys he was going to try to get some rushing yards this week. He didn't want those. He didn't want those at all.
Not on that play.
He didn't want them, but he knew what he had to do. And he went and got 4 or 5 positive yards on the play and had positive rushing yards this week.
I'll take it. Yeah, because he wasn't kneeling
at the end.
Because
he didn't have to kneel down at the end.
So that's about it for Jalen.
I'm not done.
No,
he has to. Jalen Samuels. Listen, I got a mini rant about to happen right here.
Here we go.
Very important that no matter what the play is that is called, young man, I'm talking to you, Jalen Samuels, no matter what the play is that is called, you are prepared as if it is coming to you. The Steelers in a goal line formation with a single running back. Jalen Samuels is off to the left, lined up as if he were a tight end on the end of the line, a couple tight ends on the right. Jalen Samuels did not have his mouthpiece in. It was hanging from his face mask. Any defender or anyone with any football IQ looks at this man and knows the ball's not coming his way because he isn't worried about putting his mouthpiece in. That is just a huge tell. You can't let that happen. If you're going to be out there, you have to put your mouthpiece in and pretend at least like you're going to be involved in the play. Because what was the play? It was a QB sneak right up the middle for a first down.
Yep.
They only needed 1 yard. But if I'm a defensive lineman and I notice that the guy on the left end doesn't even have his mouthpiece in, man, I'm buckling up and I'm going lower than normal because this is coming right at me and I know it.
Yep. Yeah, bad. And then the very next play, he had the mouthpiece in, and the ball went that way because it was a handoff, quick handoff to Chase Claypool.
That's right.
Luckily, he got in the end zone, but Samuels wasn't even blocking very well, as you noticed on that play.
I pray the coaches light him up on this one, because otherwise, anytime he's in that formation and decides that he just doesn't feel like wearing his mouthpiece because it's not coming his way, everyone on the defense is going to know what's happening in that play.
Either that or make him pay for it. And no, that's kind of mean. I was going to say, purposely tell him to keep his mouthpiece out and run it that way. Those are your options, I mean,
you can't do that, though.
No, that's a little bit of safety issue.
That doesn't work. But, yeah, we got to see better out of Jalen Samuels. That's just the minute details of the game that when you're a football addict like I am that you pick up on and you hope to not see again. Derek Watt.
Played.
Got in the game, looked good.
Yeah.
Got the block a couple times. They didn't stress him too much. I don't believe he played very much on offense, but it was nice to see him back out on the field, and it was nice not to hear his name on the injury report.
Very nice. Going on to tight ends real fast.
Yes.
Vance McDonald was kind of quiet.
He was.
Blocked, whatever. He did his part.
More of the blocker at this stage in his career.
Eric Ebron had a couple catches. If I remember correctly.
2 for 95.
Yeah, the one.
2 for 9.
I was like, 95.
You didn't see that 90 yard?
No.
Neither
the one I. was, he technically should have had 3 catches. The one they got him for the smallest amount of pass interference you could call on a very, 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 very light push off.
It's almost not even a push off. It was more of a stiff arm.
Yeah.
Like he had his arm straight and he kept it straight. He did not create any
additional. He extended his wrist. That was it.
You're like a follow through on a free throw. Man.
That was all he did.
Like, yeah, I mean, I get it. Technically, there's contact there, and his arm is extended, but he didn't create new space. He just kind of prevented it from being closed up.
But the big important thing is he held onto the ball this week.
Yep.
That was huge.
Ball security much better. It's important that these guys learn on this stuff. Like, we're going to transition into wide receivers, and Chase Claypool, we noticed this week, changed how he went to the ground when stretching out the ball.
Yeah, because he almost lost one in the end zone already this year.
Yeah. He had a couple times already this season where the ball came out, and by the grace of God, it did not become a turnover. He changed how he's holding it when he's stretching it out. He's now cupping his wrist so that he's got his hand on top of it and his wrist on top of it, covering a good portion of the ball to prevent it from bouncing out when he hits the ground. It's a good adjustment, and he a couple of times was stretching out for those extra yards, and the ball did not leave his hand.
Nope, not even close.
So he has learned. He has adapted. This is a very important part of football, and this is just going to make him that much more dangerous, and it shows he's coachable.
Yeah, it does. Whether that was a one of the wide receivers telling him that or a wide receiver coach, it doesn't matter. He took it and went
with
it.
Even if he figured it out himself that he needed to change
it.
That's true. Regardless, whether it was a coach, a teammate, or he figured it out himself, great job, young man. That is a nice piece of development.
The other thing that we saw that we're going to talk about with coaching, late in the game, there was a pass to James Washington on a 3rd and super long.
Yeah.
You really wanted
end of the,
or
first,
no,
half.
End of the first half. Yeah,
end of the first half.
You really wanted to see that clock run, or Cleveland forced to use a timeout. It wound up not making a difference in the grand scheme of that drive or the next drive of the game.
But it could have.
But it could have, because he ran out of bounds
and
the
left
clock
40 seconds on the clock for the Browns. If they would have been able to get a drive together and go score on that drive, you're talking about a big momentum swing, and now maybe they think they can win going into the second half. Instead of being down 24-7, maybe they narrow that gap a little bit. So it's just paying attention to details on that sort of thing. If you're not close to getting that first down, and he was over 10 yards away still, just find a piece of dirt and hug it.
Yep. And he got coached immediately on the sideline.
Yeah. Get down in bounds.
So that was really good to see. Juju, not very involved.
Juju, quiet, but you know what? It was a coaching decision. Let's be real about this.
Yep.
The Browns took their best corner, Mr. Ward, and they stuck him on Juju, and he stayed on him almost the entire game. And if you're Ben, you're not throwing at that dude.
That's what a number one wide receiver does. He takes the attention of somebody and leaves the game. And this is the great thing about our offense right now. This is the main reason why I hope we can keep Juju on a long-term deal. We've talked about it before. We don't know if we're going to see it happen. But Juju is the least selfish individual I've ever seen play football.
Right.
Period.
Yeah.
Minus maybe Troy Polamalu.
No doubting it at all.
Troy Polamalu didn't need to be selfish, though, because he made everything happen.
Yeah, true. True.
But it's just phenomenal to see. So Juju was very quiet this game, but that led to other players being involved. James Washington had a couple catches. The first one very early was very nice. I just love that sideline catch.
Yeah, and then four catches, 68 yards total with the one touchdown, which we skipped this in the beginning. Technically, we got to shout Josh Dobbs out. Because Josh Dobbs actually is the one that said, hey, Cleveland is playing these out patterns really aggressively. You got to throw an out and up on them. So this is where you pretend like you're going to the sideline for the route. Ben throws a pump fake. The defenders all jump it as if the pass is coming, and then he goes straight down the field into the end zone and was wide open.
If you didn't see this play, I please recommend go looking it up, because this is the prettiest touchdown I've ever seen.
Yeah.
In the sense that when both the corner and the safety broke on the out route, it left a perfect gap for him to run straight up the field in between them. Typically, when on these types of plays, you have some run in and they hit each other, whatever.
Yeah, or one of the DBs realizes they've been burned and grabs them for a pass interference.
Yep.
We see that all the time.
He just went right between them and was gone.
Yep.
Phenomenal play. Thank you, Josh Dobbs.
great job by Dobbs to recognize that. Thank God they brought him back. And you know what? Great job by Ben on executing the pump fake. He's got one of the best pump fakes in the entire NFL.
I don't know how he hangs on to that thing.
He's got to have huge hands.
That's insane. It's insane.
But, yeah, beautiful pass right in stride. James Washington taking advantage of it and quietly having his best year of his career.
Yeah.
Washington's putting together a decent year.
I mean, it's not a long career, but yes.
Yeah.
Very much so, yes.
Yeah, it's his third year, but yeah, well, let's be realistic. He really didn't get targeted a lot in previous years. He's starting to get targeted. He's getting three or four catches a game on a regular basis.
Yeah. As far as other wide receivers, we talked about Chase Claypool.
Yep.
He had a big catch.
Big game
overall, yeah. Another touchdown, rushing touchdown. So he has, is that two rushing touchdowns on the year?
Two already, I believe.
So that's something we typically don't see out of a wide receiver on the Pittsburgh Steelers. Other than that, wide receiver core, other than those couple guys, were pretty quiet. Didn't see a whole lot. We didn't see anything from Ray McLeod necessarily, other than punt return game. And we didn't see any Deion Kane targets or anything like that. Offensive line, we knew we were going to be out to Castro again. Dotson came in, played well. We saw Marquise Pouncey going really well. Offensive line played well.
Yeah, and I think overall, when you looked at it, there was one play where the Browns brought a blitz with a DB and a linebacker, and they both got in there. Connor had to pick which one to block. He picked the correct one. He took the linebacker. And that was the right move on that. There was just too many people to block. So that got in and got a sack. On the other one where Myles Garrett got a sack, he beats Okorafor for the only time of the entire day. Scooped inside of him, right? Dotson sees it out of the corner of his eye, comes over and de-cleats him. Now, listen, if this is not Myles Garrett, anybody else in the NFL goes down on their backside. He was off the ground. Myles somehow regains his footing. Connor tries to chip him, but whiffs and gets in Dotson's way. And then he ends up just standing there right next to Ben and just kind of bear hugs him and takes him to the ground.
Yeah. Wasn't anything necessarily impressive by him.
Yeah, it wasn't that Garrett made an incredible play. He did a good job beating Okorafor to the inside, but Dotson cleaned him up, man. And if it's anyone else, besides maybe like Khalil Mack, maybe Khalil Mack stays on his feet.
Yeah.
Or maybe one of the Boses stay on their feet. Really outside of that, you're not going to see anybody stay on their feet when they get hit like that. Dotson, just an impressive game, multiple times pulling from the right to the left.
And looked great.
Cleaning somebody up or turning the corner in a very difficult block when you're pulling like that to get your body to turn the defender completely. He did this multiple times throughout the day. There was one play where they ran right at him. He knocked two guys to the ground. He's just standing there because he didn't have anybody left to block as the running back goes by him.
Like, I'll take that.
This is a very strong individual who is quick, agile, and good in pass pro. This is a heck of a pick in the fourth round, man.
I think we did really well. Third round Chase Claypool, fourth round Dotson. Second Claypool, excuse me. Even McFarlane.
McFarlane looks electric.
Great when he knows what the play is.
Yeah.
He's only not known the play one time, but still. Other than that, offensive line wise, Villanueva, I thought, played better than he has.
Villanueva had a good game. And I think it was Filer's best game of the year. I didn't see him get beat once.
Nope.
And this is a very difficult defensive line by the Browns. There's some very good players on that line. Ogunjobi played. Sheldon Richardson, I'm pretty sure he had some Pro Bowls while he was with the Jets.
Yep.
I mean, these are some very good
quality
defensive
linemen. It was easily one of the
linemen.
Best defensive line we played so far.
And they didn't get beat.
No.
Pouncey had a good game, too, before going down to the injury.
Yeah.
So I thought overall we saw an excellent performance from this offensive line, with really that Garrett sack being the only one where the offensive line got beat, and they were literally inches away from pancaking the guy that got the sack on the play.
Yeah, there was another sack that I don't feel like it was the offensive line getting beat. It was a blitzing secondary man that got in there.
Yeah, and I was talking about that previous to it. But, yeah, I'm like, overall, very good, I thought.
I will take that every week out of our...
Yeah, and twice on Sunday.
And twice on Sunday. D-line.
D-line.
Wow. Not number-wise, but they applied pressure.
All game long.
Tyson Alualu, yep. Cam Hayward, Stephon Tuitt.
Dude, Cam had 8 tackles. He led the team. When does an interior defensive lineman get 8 tackles in a game? Holy crap, man.
Well, when it's a Steeler player going up against a Browns team. No, I'm just kidding.
One of the things that we called out last week is that the interior offensive line of Cleveland, specifically Botonio and Treader, the left guard and the center, are susceptible to interior defensive linemen with great length. Cam Hayward is 6'5", Stephon Tuitt is 6'6". They have great length. They were able to use that to beat up on those guys and really got inside all game long.
I wish it was almost like Madden, where you could see the play call designs after the play, because I really want to understand a couple times that Bud Dupree and TJ Watt both were coming free on play action plays.
Yeah.
You can have one of them come free.
Not both of them.
You can't.
That's
do
bad
that.
Bad design.
So the D-line was applying enough pressure. I don't know if that was them applying enough pressure to take some heat off of them on the outside, or if that was just bad play calling. I really don't know. But there were multiple times where Baker Mayfield would do a play action pass, try to roll out, and realize, oh, there's Bud Dupree or there's TJ Watt, and then have to either step up in a pocket that wasn't basically there or just get sacked.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
And you got to give Baker credit, honestly. He probably should have been sacked close to 10 times in this game, but kept on avoiding it. The one time Bud Dupree had him around the waist and he throws the ball away, then Cam Hayward comes
nails
in and just absolutely crushes him. But because of his ability really to not be worried about taking a hit when he was already in pain, he got it out and didn't take the sack. You know, he's a team first guy. You gotta give Baker credit for that. But I feel like he tried to be too much of the hero and took too much of a punishment because of it.
Yep. That's sadly what Baker, I think, is his legacy will be in Cleveland.
Yeah.
Unless something changes drastically and soon, it's not looking good because he tries too hard to be a hero.
In the last few years, the issue has been that the offensive line has not been talented enough for Cleveland. This year, it seems like the talent is there. They just couldn't hang with the Steelers' defensive line.
No, not – or the – I mean, technically – Bud Dupree calls himself a defensive end, whatever.
Yeah.
The linebackers even were the outside linebackers were destroying them.
And I'll tell you what, Alex Highsmith in this game had a good game.
He did.
Especially on special teams. Made multiple tackles on special teams. Really was getting amped up out there. I like to see it. I want to see him get to the quarterback still, but I think that's coming.
He had one massive hit that I can't remember if it was on special teams or it was special teams.
Yeah.
It was huge.
Yeah, he had one on punt coverage and one on kick coverage. He was doing them both, man.
Yep. And then listen, speaking of linebackers, we talked about TJ Watt and Bud Dupree. Sadly, we saw Devin Bush go down with an injury.
Yep.
It's going to be season ending.
Appears to be a torn ACL.
Yep.
That's what all sources are saying at this
point. And that's I hate seeing those non-contact injuries like that where they're typically the worst, which doesn't make sense in your brain, but in the sports medicine world, non-contact is typically so much worse. But we saw Robert Spillane come in, and we talked a lot about him getting burned on people a couple times last year, typically tight ends beating him deep. He came in and rocked it. And he literally rocked one of the tight ends at one point.
I'll tell you what, one thing that when we were watching the preseason, not this year, obviously, but the year before, I felt like Robert Spillane in that preseason looked good. He was in position always. There were just a lot of throws that were perfectly thrown opposite him. So he was right on his guy, never really beat badly, just perfect throws, right? In this game, he played a little over two quarters, had five tackles, and was blowing people up. I even saw him blow up a pulling guard on one play.
Okay, I
just came in there and crushed the guard, which forced the play to go further outside and gave the running back nowhere to go. Like, he's got the mentality, and he is a lot more athletic than I think people realize. This young man is really going to be something to watch the rest of the season, and it looks like he's going to be the play caller. They're saying he's going to be the guy with the green dot the rest of the season. Yep.
He's jacked, too.
He is. Yeah, he looks like he's in the best shape of his life.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Blowing people up. I think if you're a Madden fan, look for him to get a boost in his batting ratings.
Yeah, hopefully
especially
hit power.
If he continues playing the way he is. But we'll see Ulysses Gilbert III get a helmet the rest of the year now. Marcus Allen might even get an opportunity to play a little bit on defense as well. But look for it to pretty much just be a one-for-one substitution for right now.
Yeah, expect there to be some type of rotation. We already saw a rotation before this to some degree at middle linebacker. Expect it to be maybe a little bit heavier now with Devin Bush out to keep Spillane and more than likely UG3 fresh. We've seen some posts on social media about, you know, I saw a lot of the Steelers groups where people were posting, top inside linebackers available. Who will Pittsburgh sign? They're not going to sign anybody.
I don't think
it's
they're
the
going
next
after
man up.
Anybody.
It's the next man up mentality that Tomlin's all about. So,
and they always say this, but in previous years, not going next man up and going outside of the organization hurt them badly. They brought in Sean Spence when Ryan Shazier went down, when they had L.J. Ford on the team and he was a better option. Then they let Arthur Motes play, and Arthur Motes was a better outside linebacker than he was inside at that stage in his career. And it just, and then Bostic the next year, and still you just couldn't find the right guy when you had guys on the team on the depth chart that probably were better players.
Yep.
You just got to give him a chance, and Spillane proved that he's worthy of the opportunity. And honestly, I feel like what UG3 showed us in the preseason last year proves that he should be the next man up after that.
And I just would honestly be massively impressed if they go out and sign somebody for the inside linebacker position.
I think you probably will see them bring somebody into the practice squad
but
at that position.
Yeah, that's different.
But I don't think they're going to bring anybody to the 53. Nope. I don't see the point. You've been sitting your fifth inside linebacker all season long. Now your fifth inside linebacker is Devin Bush. He's on injured reserve.
Yep.
So I don't see the need personally.
Yeah, I'd be shocked if they did it. Don't expect it. Again, expect maybe practice squad. I'd be shocked if they actually didn't practice squad, sign somebody. But Spillane played well. We're going to probably see UG3 next week a little bit, maybe even.
Defensive backs. I want to talk James Pierre, man. I want to go straight to James Pierre. I know that he's a backup. I know he didn't play on defense, but on special teams, James Pierre is starting to pop. He is getting a lot of tackles on punt coverage. He's a gunner on the punt coverage unit. He's playing kick coverage as well. And what we're seeing is a young man with great instincts and good speed getting down the field and making things happen. And I can't not mention him. I wanted to last week, and I forgot, and I felt like a heel afterwards.
Here we go.
Because he had a good game. So this is 2 weeks in a row now with James Pierre showing that he has what it takes to be a good gunner in this league.
And that's where a lot of corners start.
That's where it starts, man. Especially in Pittsburgh. If you're not willing to tackle, you're not playing.
Nope.
Period.
It's very, very true.
And guys that are willing to tackle, let's talk about these corners, man. So Mike Hilton had another decent game, but blew himself up.
Basically.
He came running in full speed, hit Kareem Hunt with everything he had and kind of bounced off because he's a little guy.
And then just stayed down on the ground.
Yeah, and it looked like he injured his shoulder. No news yet as to how severe it is, but he did not come back in the game. And the adjustment that Pittsburgh made is that they moved Steven Nelson to the inside, right? And then they allowed Cam Sutton to play the other inside when there was four corners out there and Justin Lane got a little playing time.
Yep.
They didn't throw it at him.
That was good to see. That was good to see.
Yeah, at least that shows you that Justin Lane still is above James Pierre on the depth chart. So good to see. Joe Haden, I thought, had an excellent game. Was very close to a lot of interceptions in this game.
Yeah, made one bad play that led to their only touchdown.
Yep. Yeah, and he just, honestly, that was just his aggressiveness. He knew that he could jump some passes in this game and kept doing it over and over and almost got a number of interceptions because of it.
Yeah.
His aggressiveness bit him in the butt on that touchdown because he went for the pump fake to the inside, and then his guy was standing wide open in the corner of the end zone. That's going to happen. When that's the only touchdown you give up the entire game, in multiple pass breakups by Haden, I'm not upset with him about it.
No, we'll absolutely still take that.
How you feel about Cam Sutton these days?
So, Cam Sutton, listen, first off, overall defense. I'm going to talk overall before I talk about Cam real fast.
All right.
Third down conversions for Cleveland, they were 1 of 12. 1 of 12 on third down. Third down has been Pittsburgh's kryptonite for so many years.
1 of 12 is bad, right?
1 of 12 is bad. That is more than failing. And then on fourth downs, they were 0 for 3.
Is that like an F minus then?
That's like that. Listen, it goes A, B, C,
D,
D,
F.
There's no E.
Yeah.
F. That's like a G. Okay? That's like a G for gross.
It's like an incomplete. You didn't show up to class.
Yeah, you didn't even. No, you didn't even show up. And it was online.
Oh, man. You just had to log in. That's it.
But I just can't get over how well our defense is playing. Even after the Devin Bush went out, our defense, Spillane was even a large part on some of those stops on fourth down.
Vince had a great game. I missed it. I should have talked
about Vince.
Vince, again, blowing people up all over. Stopped Kareem Hunt when he tried to catch a pass in the flat on fourth and one. Crushed
should
him.
Should have had the pick. But he, I mean, I understand
he crushed him and prevented
the fourth down. I get it. But he could have had a pick six, baby.
He could have. Great game by Vince, though.
Great game. But Cam Sutton on one of the plays, TJ Watt actually got in and got some pressure on Baker. And we talked about this before, and you said we've given up third and 15-plus before.
Yeah, third and 17
because it's
last
been over
week.
Our head.
Yep.
And
Cam
it was
Sutton
a third and 17.
Cam did not let it go over his head.
He high-pointed the crap out of that
beautiful
ball.
Beautiful.
And if you don't know what high-pointing is, I'm sure everyone does. I'm not saying that our listeners don't know football.
But you might be new to football.
You might be new to football. You might be interested. You might be new to Pittsburgh Steelers football. We never know. High-pointing the ball is saying, hey, I'm not going to give anybody a chance to go get this ball. I'm going to get it at the highest point that I can physically jump up and touch the ball so no one else has a chance. And that's exactly what he did. That was the second interception of the game. After Minkah already had his pick six, it was phenomenal. Phenomenal. Speaking of Minkah's pick six.
Great adjustment by the defense to just get that extra couple steps of depth. That's all it is. Know where that first down marker is. Get those couple extra steps of depth and get that pick, man. Beautiful. And then on that first interception, Minkah in what they call a robber defense. So it looks like a cover two where the safeties are both deep, right? They're 15, 20 yards back at the beginning of the play. At the snap, he comes flying up, crashes what is a slant pattern. So a quick angle to the inside of the field. He sees it coming all the way. Baker doesn't see him coming. And pick six, baby. Beautiful. He is off the hook. His streak is back over. Now it's a turnover streak. Let's see him get some more next week, baby.
Yeah, because typically those they call them
bunches, man. They come in bunches.
No, I'm not talking about that.
The picks.
I'm talking about the robber play.
Robber formation.
Typically, there's either a cover one robber play or a cover three. You don't typically fall into cover two on that.
But it was just being disguised as cover two.
Correct. Yeah. It was phenomenally played by Minkah. He took a step back on the snap and then went immediately forward and watched Baker. He said, hey, this is where I'm going the entire time with his eyes. He never tried to look anybody off or anything like that. So great job, Minkah. One turnover, one pick six. Let's get more.
Absolutely. I thought the secondary in general had an excellent day. I was very nervous about this because the previous couple of games, I felt like the secondary did not play their best. They're having a tough time in coverage. and you're going against two of the best wide receivers they've played all year long. And honestly, they shut him down.
Listen, we made Odell Beckham go back to his New York Giants days. We made him have a temper tantrum with about 8 minutes left
cleats
in the game.
Off.
Cleats off, helmet thrown, and jabbing,
half off.
Jibber-jabbing with a fan in the stadium.
Yep.
Like, he quit on his team.
Now, to be fair, it looked like Stefanski, the coach of the Browns, did pull a lot of the guys at the end there. He pulled Baker because he didn't want to see him get hurt anymore.
I don't think this was
he
pulling him.
He pulled
Myles Garrett the first time we saw Mason Rudolph go in, which was smart.
That was, yeah.
They showed Mason in the huddle, and they showed Myles on the sideline.
Yep.
That was a smart play.
Yep, no point. Don't need any drama. Things were going smooth.
Yep.
And no cheap shots in the game from what I saw. It was good sportsmanship on both sides.
Yeah, for the most part.
You know, I didn't mention Bud Dupree when we were talking linebackers. He had a monster game, man.
He did. He
Two
really
sacks.
Did.
Sacks. I think that's five on the season and five games now.
I really hope we can retain him. I really hope we can retain him. I don't know.
They're not going to be able to.
I know, but I want to.
He's going to need $20 million a year at least.
Oh, it's so rough.
It's not happening.
I know.
They can't afford it.
I know.
But man, is he having a good year.
He is. Let's move on to special teams.
And that rookie tackle just couldn't block him.
Oh, that's true.
That's a rookie left tackle that we were talking about.
Wurfs. Tristan Wurfs? No.
Well, Jedrick Wills.
Yeah, Tristan Wurfs is the Buccaneers.
Yeah, Jedrick Wills. And he's a heck of a player. But again, this young man played right tackle in college. He's still transitioning to left tackle. He may get better at it as he goes along, but as of right now, he can't block Bud Dupree.
Yeah, and that's not a fair. Nope, that was just rude.
That's a bad assignment.
I don't know what more to say to that.
That's a bad assignment for that young man.
Boss for president. He was
he's
perfect
still
on the
doing
day.
His thing.
He missed the still one, the first it. Kick this year, and then he's made them all since.
Every single one. I knocked on wood, don't worry.
Knocking on wood. Didn't see a whole lot. I mean, we punted the ball a couple times. Nothing crazy that I saw.
Yeah.
We talked about Pierre.
Yeah, Pierre had a great game on special teams, as did Alex Highsmith, we were talking about. I felt like both of them played very well on special teams coverage this week. And Ray had some decent returns, but didn't really open any of them up, which was fine. We didn't need it this week.
Nope.
I'm glad he's saving it for next week against the Titans.
Yeah.
We might need it against the Titans. We might need it against the Ravens. He can go ahead and break one for a touchdown one of those games. Won't break my heart.
Yeah. We probably won't need him for the Dallas game now that it's Andy Dalton. We're used to playing Andy Dalton. He'll get sacked a couple times.
Yeah. Yeah, that honestly is the next one to really put a bullseye on as far as getting a lot of sacks.
Yep.
That's not a good offensive line right now. There's a lot of injuries there.
And who knows? Maybe they won't be as injured then, but still, there's a lot going on right now.
There's a lot of year-long
That's
injuries.
True. There is. But let's do our takeaways. You got offense this week.
I got offense.
Go for it.
Here we go. So my first takeaway, big game by James Conner. He's back after one game that was not a monster game. He did get in the end zone last week, but this game back up to getting that average up. Very physical one of his runs. Always fighting for the extra yards, which is what you love to see from your running back. And the stiff arm was a weapon again. It wasn't just something that he used once in a while. It was a weapon. Averaging 5.1 yards per carry is tremendous for a game average. So great to see from him. Again, Kevin Dotson showing up in our offensive takeaways. Doesn't matter if it's me talking or Cody.
Yep.
He is playing well beyond what a fourth-round rookie is supposed to play. Looks every bit of the part, is strong as can be, athletic as can be, and everything that you could hope for in an offensive guard. I feel personally he is playing himself into a starting role where you're not going to be able to keep him off the field much longer. You're not going to bench Filer most likely. I think Filer keeps his job the rest of the year.
Yeah.
I think obviously DeCastro is retained, right? You extend DeCastro, you keep DeCastro. I don't think you bother with Filer now, though, unless you can get him for cheap, because I think you're going to start Dotson at left guard next year.
I could see it.
He's too dang good.
He is.
Too good.
I don't disagree with you.
My third takeaway.
Okay.
Ben Roethlisberger's knee finally gets a break.
Oh, my gosh.
Finally gets a break. Mason is the one kneeling the ball down at the end of the game this game, which does mean, yes, in all five victories, the Steelers have ended it in victory formation, which is the ideal way.
That's incredible.
Right? Every game
to think
was
about
in,
it, that all five games.
It was done. It was done. They had the ball. The other team couldn't call any timeouts, and they kneeled it and were merciful to their opponents when they could have put more on if they wanted to.
Dang.
And it's a tremendous feeling not only to win big, but to end it in control where you're not scrambling around trying to keep them out of the end zone one last time.
Yep.
I like what do it. You got for defensive takeaways? Or do you have another offensive one? Did I miss something you'd like to talk
offensive
about?
Offensive one, the only thing that I would say that I would add to this is just the amazing fact that Claypool is a freak. Like,
that's true.
Like, he didn't do a whole lot this game in the sense of number-wise, but his one sideline catch, his other catch that he juked somebody out, ran an extra 15 yards upfield and almost got a touchdown on that play, and then he has a second rushing touchdown of the year already. That's the only other thing that I would say. So I like your three takeaways for sure.
Thanks, man.
Defensively.
Yeah. What you got?
First big takeaway. Third down conversion stoppage.
Whew.
One of 12. That's it. That means they were punting 11 times or attempting to kick field goals, which I don't even think they did, or they're going for it on fourth down. They're failing. Like
0 for 3, right?
0 for 3 on fourth down.
That's incredible. That's so huge. That's why Ben didn't need to throw for a lot of yards. They kept on starting.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. They start on short fields.
Their drives on short fields over and over. It's great.
And then you had Connor running the ball all the time. Other than that, second big takeaway, Minka Fitzpatrick. We've been talking all year about where's he at. He's not doing anything.
Where
blah,
are the
blah,
big
blah.
Plays?
There's the big play.
Boom.
There's the it was right there. You couldn't miss it. It happened. Expect more. This is what happens. Most teams at this point were staying away from him. Baker Mayfield's an idiot. He chose not to.
He just didn't recognize the formation.
That's true.
He didn't realize he was coming down in there.
Either way, I'll take that for a touchdown all day, every day, and twice on Sundays. Third big takeaway for me, or third takeaway, not big. I guess it is big. The Devin Bush injury and Robert Spillane coming in. Robert Spillane played phenomenally. He did not look like a backup middle linebacker.
No.
He did not look out of place. He's now the signal caller, as we already went over. That's huge. If he can continue this, not to say that I'm not worried about Bush, but I'm not worried about Bush this year. If he continues to play like that, Bush, take your rest, take your rehab, come back stronger next year. But I'm not concerned if Spillane can continue that kind of gameplay.
I love that. And honestly, this might be one of those things that is a blessing in disguise because Vince Williams is on the wrong side of 30 now, right? I think he's at least 30 years old. He's not going to get more athletic as he goes on at this point. He's going to start to slow down. Shoot, they already tried to replace him last year, right? Bringing in Mark Barron, that was the idea, try to find somebody more athletic.
And that did
it
not
didn't
work.
Not work. Vince is better than Mark Barron is. But you need to, at some point in time, find that bookend guy that can play side by side with Bush for the next, you know, 7-8 years or whatever.
10, 12.
Yeah, maybe more. You know, and it needs to be a young guy, Robert Spillane, second year in the league, second year on the team. It's going to be the same with UG3. This is going to be a really good chance for them to see if one of these guys can be the guy. Can this be the Robin to the Batman? Is this the number two middle linebacker for the next, you know, 5, 7, or 8 years, whatever it may be? It's really important to find it. You weren't going to find it if both Vince and Devin Bush were healthy all year. There was no reason to take them off the field.
No.
Now you got no choice. Somebody else has to play because of the injury. And Spillane, game one, looks like he belongs, and I am optimistic about that, man. Very optimistic.
Absolutely. You have any other takeaways for me? Those are my three.
No, that's good, man. I'm not even going to try and throw in Henry Mondo.
I knew it. I still knew you were going to bring it up. I knew it. I was waiting for it.
But I wasn't going to bring it up. But I didn't bring it up, right? I mean, I didn't.
Oh, my gosh. All right, let's look ahead real quick.
Yes.
Next week, we have the two undefeated teams that that one of them should not be undefeated by this point because we were already supposed to play them.
Yeah.
But Tennessee Titans come in.
Rematch on the Titans.
Yeah, Derrick Henry.
Is it a rematch when you haven't played him yet?
I don't think so.
No, I guess not.
It's just a rematch. I don't know.
I heard, before we get into this.
Tell me.
I heard the NFL is considering flexing this game to a prime time. Could go to 4 o'clock, could go to Sunday night. So stay tuned.
If they don't flex it, I'd be shocked.
I would be too. This is a marquee matchup.
Yeah,
right
now. It's two of the last three teams that were undefeated.
Yeah, battle of 5-0s, and this is where COVID started, folks. Tennessee blew it. Pittsburgh got an early bye week because of it as an innocent bystander. They should be upset about this still, that they don't get to have a bye week week 8 because of this team and take it out on them.
Oh, absolutely. I expect it to be a good game. Looking ahead, Derrick Henry's my biggest concern on offense.
Yeah, and mine might be Jonnu Smith.
That's also fair, the tight end, yeah.
Both of these are weapons, man.
The big thing with Derrick Henry that I want to say right now is last week...
Everything's big on him.
You're not wrong. But last week, he had 230-something yards
yeah,
or
over
something.
Over 200.
Rushing yards, and then he also had some passing yards. But he had a 94-yard rush.
Yeah.
And then a massive play in overtime.
It. Yeah, to seal it at the end.
If you take those away...
Not as big of a game.
We just have to prevent those big plays.
And I like Pittsburgh's safeties to not let those 7 and 8 yard runs turn into 80-yard runs. I think Minka and Edmonds can clean them up and get them to the ground.
Yeah.
I think Minka has learned from the last few weeks, and not even
he's been throwing his
week.
Body around. And it hasn't been working. Yeah. I think he's realizing that.
2 weeks ago, he made the mistake of just throwing his body into a running back that was drastically smaller than Derrick Henry. He won't make that mistake this week. You're going to see everybody bring everything they've got on these hits. I can't wait to see Vince Williams blow him up in a hole, man.
I was excited to see Devin Bush and him face off in a hole.
I know. Devin hits people so hard, too.
Oh,
but,
man.
And it's going to be a great measuring stick for Spillane. If Spillane can hang against Derrick Henry, he can hang against every running back in the league.
Oh, absolutely.
So that's a huge matchup to watch. Jonnu Smith, one of the more athletic tight ends in the league. Now we got to see, can Vince and Spillane cover this guy?
Or are they going to do something different in the defensive formation to take him out of the play?
You never know. There was a lot of talk early on in the preseason about Terrell Edmonds possibly playing a little bit of a hybrid, moving into middle linebacker a little bit. I wouldn't be surprised if on third and long type situations, they play him side by side with Vince in there and have him shadow the tight end.
And listen, Terrell Edmonds has a little bit of a cheat code in the sense of when it comes to middle linebacker, because his brother is a middle linebacker for the Buffalo Bills. So I wouldn't be surprised if he reached out to his brother and said, hey, you know, what are specific things you need to look for in middle linebacker that he doesn't already know? Like, he knows the defense in general.
Yeah.
His brother being a middle linebacker in the NFL gives him a little bit of an advantage.
His brother's dang good middle linebacker.
His brother's
too.
Big.
Yeah, he's like 6'4".
He's massive.
Yeah, he's a big boy, no doubt. Other big boys on this team to look out for. Wide receiver A.J. Brown.
A.J. Brown.
Built like a running back. He's about 230 on a 6'1" frame. That's running back, not wide receiver. But he plays wide receiver. Very difficult to bring down. Hayden and Nelson will need to bring the wood when they come to tackle this man, or he will slide right off of them and keep on going. Corey Davis, the other wide receiver, bigger guy himself, just more of a speed guy. Not the physical type like A.J. Brown is, that's for sure.
On defensive for the Titans, Jadeveon Clowney. He's been underrated of recent years when he played for the Texans, and now he's obviously transitioned to playing for the Titans. But he is a big boy as well, and he will give whoever he's going up against a run for his money, because I think they could possibly line him up on either side of the ball.
Yeah, and Harold Landry on the other side, also a good pass rusher. Offensive tackles are going to have their hands full again this week. Last week was a good display by them. Speaking of offensive tackles, before we forget about it, Taylor Wan starting their left tackle for the Titans.
Yep.
Best left tackle that Bud Dupree will see all year probably right here.
Yep.
If he can be productive against Taylor Lewan, he's going to be getting $25, $30 million a year from somebody next year.
Listen, the one thing I'll have to say about Taylor Lewan is if you haven't seen some of his like bloopers, or I don't even know what to call him, he's a funny guy.
Yeah.
He messes with people all the time, and he is just a good dude. So, look forward for a good matchup. Look forward for some maybe a little trash talk here and there.
Yeah.
All in good taste.
And, interior D-line on this team also very stout. Daquan Jones, Jeffrey Simmons, Jack Crawford, all solid defensive linemen. So,
yeah, Daquan Jones was injured for last week's game. He went into the game questionable. I can't remember if he played or not, but either way, phenomenal inside linemen. So,
yeah, and the secondary there is no joke here. You got Adoree Jackson and Malcolm Butler on the corners with Kenny Vaccaro and Kevin Byard at safety. So, this will be a very good
probably
test.
The best secondary we've gone up against.
Yep. Yeah, very good secondary, no doubt about that. So it'll be important to see how these guys play up against a difficult defense. This is not an easy defense in a very punishing run game. If Pittsburgh can stop this running game too, now you start talking about this being an elite defense. They were rated number two going into last weekend against the run.
Tampa Bay was the only one better than them.
Yeah, and previous, the Colts were better. But it's going to be real interesting, man. If they can shut down this team too, whoo.
Listen, we shut down Saquon Barkley.
Crushed him.
Everyone says that it was because of the Giants' offensive line, whatever. If we do that to Derrick Henry, you can't say it's because of the offensive line.
Yeah.
You can't.
Yeah. Because the Browns were running for 200 on everybody, no matter who the running back was.
Yep.
And Kareem Hunt, yeah, he's a drop-off from Nick Chubb, but not that much of one. Kareem Hunt's still a real good running back. And that, what is it, D'Anthony Johnson, the other running back played in the AFL last year. He's been running real well, too. Didn't against Pittsburgh.
Nope.
The holes weren't there.
No. So, real excited for next week's game. More than likely going to see it on Sunday night. I have a feeling it's going to be a Sunday night game.
I'll be happy if it just gets pushed to four, man.
Because you can watch it live. James is working every Sunday morning right now.
And Sundays are one of the busiest days for us, so oftentimes I do not get out early. So I end up watching that DVR. Don't you worry. I watch every single play of the game. Some of those plays twice just to be sure I understand what's going on.
Oh, absolutely. So we look forward to hearing from you guys. As we always say, be sure to like and follow on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok.
Yeah, don't forget to subscribe. And if you do a review for us, folks, we will give you a shout out on this podcast. Really appreciate all the folks that have in the past.
Yeah, five-star reviews are huge.
On Apple Podcasts, that is one of the most beneficial places you could possibly do it for us. So feel free to do so, especially if you're a new listener. We'd love to hear from you in the form of a five-star review.
Absolutely. So again, at Steelers by the Lake on all those social media handles. And until next time, this is your host, James and Cody, signing off.
Peace.